and welcome to this edition of Conversations. I'm Peter Fleming, and in the studio with me this morning, I have Elizabeth Salmon. Hello, Elizabeth.
Hello, Peter.
Now, Elizabeth Salmon, she's well known, I believe, in musical circles around here, but we brought her in today to have a chat about drivers for Why Can I, which is a local organisation, really, providing transport to hospitals. Elizabeth, tell us how you came about doing all this, because you're working very hard with it.
Well, I knew that I had a cataract operation coming up, and as I'd had a couple of drives with Kapiti carers, I was expecting to be taken to Kenepuru by Kapiti carers. To my horror, I heard that they were no longer in existence. So I thought, what am I going to do? And I sat down, I was trying to meditate one day, and into my mind came, you can do it. Extraordinary. So I thought on it and I thought, well, I'll devise a system that might work and see what happens. Well, I heard that there was a meeting of disgruntled drivers because it had shut down very, very quickly and they hadn't been warned. So I asked if I might go to the meeting and took my idea with me and didn't hear anything more afterwards. So I thought, oh, well, that's that. And then in, I think, January this year, I had a call from Diana Ponsford, who was one of the big organisers of Kapiti Carers, and she said, Elizabeth, would you be prepared to organise drivers for Parkwood residents? And I thought, well, I've got my system. So I said yes. And we started organising, or at least I started organising. And with the seven drivers that she gave me, other people put their hands up and we had quite a lot of drivers and we started doing it and it worked very, very well. My system was that I had a list of drivers with all the information of where they could drive and when, and that I would send that out as an email to people who requested a drive. And that worked well, except sometimes people were getting lots of phone calls from people who had the list. And one by one, they said, no, they couldn't do it, which was demoralising. And I thought, well, we don't want stress for people. They've got enough stress. And after a while, it was, I think, at the beginning of May, I changed the system. And that system worked with me sending out a general email with the instructions, the guidelines as to how it worked. And people would email me with what they needed, their name, their where they lived, where they were going, what time and phone number, those things. I would put that on a form, send the form out as an email to all the drivers, and whoever could do the drive emailed me back, and then that went to the person needing a drive. It sounds complicated, but it's not really. It just involved me with more work.
Yeah, a lot of work for you.
But it meant that I could have a knowledge of who was needing the drive, and I built up records. So to date, we've got 128 drives on the records from the beginning of May, and I think we would have had a good 30 before then. So we're providing a good service.
That's a good service. Yes. You know, for people who are not particularly aware of it, and I think unless you've been in the same position as you were, if you can't get to Wellington Hospital, if you can't drive, you haven't got a friend or a relation who can take you, how do you get to Wellington Hospital or across to the Valley or Kenepuru?
Yeah.
And yes, I've been driving for you for a while.
Yes.
I don't know if you've done much for a while, but because I've been too busy. But everybody you take are so grateful because they say, well, I don't know how I'd have managed this without. Yeah, it's a fantastic service.
Yes, and I was one of them, as I said. Now, we started off as drivers for Parkwood. And then Diana told me that the system was going to work at Charles Fleming the same way. But I started getting requests from residents of Charles Fleming. So I said, no, I can't do that. I don't want to take it away from people who are organising it there. And it kept on happening. So I went to Charles Fleming and they knew nothing of it whatsoever. So I said, would you like me to include you? Yes, they said. And then I thought, well, if we're doing it for those two places, why not the other retirement villages? So I went to all of them and they all said, yes, thank you very much. And then I thought, well, what about the other residents of Why Can I? And so eventually we became drivers for Why Can I.
Because it's quite a demand.
Well, 128 in however many, many months.
Yeah, yes. And as I say, the options are very limited. There is the shuttle, I believe, that goes in and out. But
well, there are more options now, the shuttle, but that's limited. They do only 4 days a week and until midday. So what about people who have afternoon appointments?
Yes,
so
yes.
It's not really the best option. And then there's another group. They were driving as individuals, and I think that some of them were at the meeting I went to at the end of last year, but they didn't form a group, and just recently they have formed a group. So they're driving for Kapiti. That includes Waikanae, unfortunately. I don't know what's going to happen there. But we're still getting plenty of requests, so that's fine. And then I've got wonderful drivers. We sometimes get requests for urgent appointments, and it's amazing how people will just leap to the need. One person, I think the medical centre phoned me at something like 4:30 and said that they had somebody who needed to go straight away, and we had her in by, 6 o'clock.
Right, yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Because when I started driving with Kapiti Carers several years ago, when they were going strong. And I mean, my view has always been it's a community thing. It's yes, we do get some money towards offsets a petrol and wear and tear, if you want to call it that, you know, which is only fair. And it's well, we'll talk about that in a moment. But I never saw it as being a competitive sort of thing.
No, absolutely not. We're an organisation of people who care and who will do anything they can to help. And as you said, that they do get the money, but the amount of time they put in, sometimes it can be 3, 4, 5 yes. hours.
Well, exactly. I've been generally lucky, and even Wellington appointments, mostly that people come out within about an hour, you know. But you got to fill your time in down there. But, of course, this is the great thing for the patient, the passenger, should I say, a patient.
Well, I call them clients.
Oh, your client, very nicely, okay. It's a door-to-door service, so yes. They don't have to worry if they...
There's no worry at all.
No.
I must tell you about one time I've got an eye problem, and I had to go into the eye clinic, and I needed to have an injection. And so I went through the process. They were very busy. It was an urgent request from me. And then the time came. They said, yes, you must have an injection. So I sat down and waited. And I waited. And I waited. And at 5 o'clock, I went up to somebody and said, what about me? We had got there at 11 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, golly.
And that was 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and they had forgotten.
And you're never quite sure, are you, with medical facilities, whether you should say, excuse me, have you forgotten me? Because you think you don't want to cause a fuss.
Exactly.
And you don't want somebody turning around and saying, look, you're not the only person here.
Exactly, and they were very busy.
Yeah.
They have up to 250 people a day to deal with.
Phenomenal,
it's amazing. So anyway... Yeah. My driver was wonderful, and it was 7 hours from time he left to the time he got home.
Oh, that's a long time, isn't it?
I felt so embarrassed.
So let's get down to the basics then. So it's a case of there are certain places that your drivers go to. So we're talking Wellington Hospital, Kenepuru, Lower Hutt. And you also do Paraparam and local Waikanae now.
Yes, all those. And we do... drives related to health needs. They're not just hospital, doctors and physiotherapists and dentists and optometrists.
Right, yes.
We don't drive people to Wellington Airport.
No.
And we don't drive them to nails and manicures and things like that. Occasionally I've had to tell people, I'm sorry, we can't do that. But we do our very best to
inevitably,
accommodate. But
inevitably.
It is health-related appointments.
Yeah, inevitably you're going to get these sort of borderline inquiries, yeah. So as far as the drivers, I've been doing it, say, for several years, and I just jump in the car and take people, and it's as simple as that. Never really thought much about insurance, tax on the income, any qualifications or anything like that. Now, I know you want to keep it as simple as possible. It is as straightforward as that, is it?
It is very straightforward. It's a cash payment, not to avoid tax, but just that we don't do internet banking. We don't have the facilities. And if people said, yes, I'll do it with internet banking, if they forget, then follow up and that sort of thing. So we've made it cash only. As far as insurance is concerned, it's up to the individual drivers to have their own insurance. And, of course, they do have to have their driver's license up to date. And I have asked them to tell me if they've had any accidents. I think only one, and that was very, very minor. Yeah. Very minor. So,
no, good for you. I mean, if we can say we, you know, generally people doing this sort of thing, if we keep it as simple as possible, because the long nose of bureaucracy that...
Yes, and we haven't done police checks, thank goodness.
No, I know. Well, I suppose and somebody might pick up on that one. That'd be awful, wouldn't it, really? Yeah. So if... And so what sort of frequency is it? I'm asking because I ought to know, but as you know, I've been off driving for a while, been too busy. Mm. But how often would a person be expected to drive?
There's no expectation. It's entirely up to them. I send out the email with the details, not the phone number, so that people don't get lots of phone calls. And the ones who reply to me, the way I select it is on how many drives they've done for the month, so that it's democratic. And the person who's done least will get the drive. That's I think, the best way of doing it.
Yeah.
So it's entirely up to people whether they drive or not. And hardly ever have I not had a driver. I think I've had three where I've filled in myself just for local drives.
Right,
and I don't do that often.
Right,
I wouldn't mind, but that's not my job.
So just around this section of the program, costs then. Let's.
Yes, that's a tricky one. I put the prices up by $5, I think, because petrol had gone up, and drivers for Company Care said that their prices hadn't changed for a long time. So I thought it was only fair just to take in that change. So for driving in Waikanae, I said $10 first of all, because it's 20 to Parafram, and I thought there should be a difference between the two places.
Yeah.
But one or two people have said they thought it should be a bit more because of the time that they spend. So it's now $15 for drives in Waikanae. If people need a drive from Peka Peka, it's $5 more for all of the places. So $15 in Waikanae, $20 in Paraparaumu, $50 to Kenepuru, $65 to Wellington and Lower Hutt.
That's okay. Mm-hmm. You don't think that Waikanae people could manage with taxis?
Well, the taxis are so expensive.
Oh, well, that's you've said it all there then, yeah.
Many years ago, I needed a taxi from our home in halfway down Timuana Road. And it was $20 for one way, even then.
Right, okay. I have to confess, I have no idea how much taxes, although I've always avoided them all my life because you think, well, they're expensive. Mm. No, fair enough. Right, Elizabeth, fantastic. I mean, congratulations on what you're doing. I mean, I thought when you first took this on about a year ago that you'd soon get overwhelmed and fed up with doing it, but you haven't. So
just occasionally it's been difficult. There was one morning fairly recently when I was trying to make a new recipe for a dessert and I was going out, and I had three requests on that morning, and it was hard to keep my head around everything, but we got there.
Yeah. So for anybody who hasn't got the contact number details at the moment, well, I'm going to ask you to give them in a moment, but I think, are there still notices in the chemists and the doctors? And
yes, I've been a bit remiss. I've had a few health issues myself this year, and I've changed the notice. I've made it bigger and bolder to match what is going on. But I haven't actually got them out yet.
Right.
So I'm summoning up energy to do that. There is one of those notices up in Connection, the drop-in centre for company and coffee and so on.
Yeah, well, that's the sort of place, isn't it?
But
yeah.
I'm thinking, in case some of my drivers are listening, I'm thinking of asking a couple of people to take on publicity.
Because you don't... I say you, I could say we, don't have a website, do we?
No, I don't know how to do that, but no. I'd like to have a website.
That's what we need.
Yeah,
really.
Can you help me?
Well, I used to have a website and I gave it. It wasn't too difficult. It's one of those things that you think stumble across somebody who's an enthusiast and would love the opportunity to create a simple website for someone. Mm. And it's only just to have, you know, if somebody puts in drivers for Waikanae on Google, it takes you somewhere and says, well, this is the phone number or this is that. It's fairly simple.
So maybe one of the listeners will help me.
Well, yeah, that's what I always think that in this sort of community, with the number of retirees, there must be people who have done this sort of thing in their business lives and would be glad of the opportunity to play around and potter about. So if you're out there and you think, well, contact Elizabeth. And
that would be good.
And if you pop into Connection or somewhere, you'll get the number. Well, but otherwise, what's the best way to contact you?
Well, I have a phone number or email. So my phone number is pins and paper, 022-341-2036. I'll say that again if you're rushing for a pencil. 022-341-2036.
Right.
And my landline, which I prefer because I'm pretty deaf and I hear better on that, 04-293-3388. 3388.
Okay. And if we want to email?
Oh, yes, email elizabethsalmon820, not my age, @gmail.com.
Fortunately, most people tend to be @gmail.com down there.
Yes.
That's pretty straightforward. We don't know what the 820 means, but we know that. elizabethsalmon820@gmail.com.
Yes.
Lovely. Okay. Well, let's keep up the good work, you know. We might have you in again sometime and talk about this, give you a bit of publicity.
Well, I don't have much choice. you get the request and I drop everything to get it sorted.
Well, that's right. And, I mean, it's quite a tie for you. I think it's...
Yes, but I am enjoying it. It's just nice to be able to give something back. I've always worked so hard. I've never had time to do volunteer work. So I feel good about this.
All I can say from my side of the car behind the wheel, what fantastic people you meet on these drives.
Exactly.
Very rare. And I've done quite a few now over the last 2 or 3 years and had some wonderful conversations, met some very interesting people. Mm. So we're not only sort of trying to put your number out for people who want to use the service, you're looking for drivers?
It's a two-way thing.
Mm. Mm. Yeah. So if you're out there and you fancy it, you like driving around, it's a super thing to do. And it's, of course, with Transmission Gully, if you're going to Wellington. Mm. And I personally, I get to Wellington Hospital, I drop the person off, I make sure they've got my phone number, and I usually drive down to the bay down there where the life club, life-saving club is. And
yes, people go out for a coffee or
exactly.
Go
if
and
you drive
see their
down
mum
there,
or whatever.
It's free parking on the seafront.
Mm.
And
we have free parking at Wellington Hospital.
That's true. Yes, I've got my little. That we do that. That's an advantage if you can find a spot even then. But So it's a great thing to do. So if you listen to the program and you feel like doing a bit of driving and meeting nice people, give Elizabeth a ring or something. Now, Elizabeth, you're quite a character in your own right anyway, before you got involved.
You could put it that way. Some people call me the funeral lady because I have played for many, many funerals in the area.
Well, of course, that's the thing. It's music. I was staggered when I read your little resume you kindly gave me to give me a little bit of an in to the start of the program. Mm. Your life has been all music. Were your parents musical?
My mother was. She played the piano well. My father wasn't really, but he enjoyed a good tune, and I played by ear. I started when I was 4, playing by ear and composing my own music, fairly simple music, but one piece was very stormy, and it was called The Storm Naiads. Where I got the word naiads from at the age of 5, I do not know, but anyway. And I played for the class singing, which was mostly nursery rhymes, with my own harmony. Played for prize giving, some of my own compositions when I was 5, perched on about 6 cushions. And it's just something I had in me.
And so that was going to always be your career, was it?
Well, yes, from the age of 8. Anyway, I forgot to finish what I was saying. My father would say, "Oh, Snooks," which was my pet name, "Snooks, go and play that on the piano." So off I would go and play My Old Man's a Dustman or whatever was on the hit parade. And it's just something I had, I could do. Not cleverness, it's just I was born with it.
It's an incredible thing to have because do you know the name Andrew London?
Yes, indeed.
Right, well, Andrew, I had him in chatting, having a chat a couple of years ago now, and I said about music, and I said, well, do you read music? He said, no, I haven't a clue, can't read a note. And he just plays by ear all the time.
I found sight reading very difficult because my ear, I really was a gifted child and my ear was extraordinary. So I wasn't taught to sight read, and that was a handicap, but I learnt later on when I was teaching and unit, haven't got time to work things out.
Presumably if you're composing, you need to be able to write music. Is that the right thing to say?
Well, along the line, when you're doing exams, you pick up a certain amount of theory. You've got to do it. But my lessons were interspersed with rather serious health problems, and so I didn't have the training that I should have had and needed. So eventually when I got to London, in London, to be a good musician, you had to be a brilliant sight reader and have a brilliant technique. And I was lacking in both those areas, which caused a terrible problem.
No, this is the Royal College of Music.
Royal College of Music, yeah.
So had you got, had you studied anything else other than music?
No, music only.
Right, okay, and before you went, there was the Medici Singers.
Oh, there's quite a bit in between that. I'll just talk about the choral part of my music. I went to Auckland to university. I had a scholarship to do the practical course. I went as a pianist, but I changed to organ because the pipe organ had just won me over entirely. And I joined the cathedral choir, which Peter Godfrey was conducting. And Peter Godfrey was my first organ teacher. So I got very closely acquainted with the family. I became like a fifth daughter. And when Peter took over the conductorship of the Auckland Dorian Choir, I belonged to that as well. So there was a lot of singing going on, and I became soloist for the choir and eventually assistant conductor. Now, the choir was so well recognised that we entered a competition called Let the People Sing. That was an international competition. And we won the top segment of it, the Rose Bowl. And from there on, we were invited to go and do a world tour. And with Peter's many contacts, we went to many places. So the first tour, we took, I think, 60 people to, first of all, Europe and then England. And we were away for 6 weeks. So it was this cathedral and that cathedral and the other cathedral and this festival and that festival. Very, very tiring, but very exciting.
Oh, fabulous, yeah.
And then 2 years later, we did the whole thing again, except that was just England, not Europe.
But 60 people.
It was 40 the next time.
That's phenomenal, isn't it? I mean, I knew a lady in the UK who was in a small choir, but they used to go to France and that, and do touring and things like that.
So getting back to the Medici Singers, when I came back from London, I took the university choir, which wasn't particularly wonderful or big. I was asked to conduct a choir out at Pukekohe, the Pukekohe Choral Society, I think. So I trundled out there each week and took rehearsals and did a few concerts. And I'm just trying to think how it happened. Yes, when I shifted down to Wellington, I shifted down to Greytown, first of all. I taught at Kurunui College. And we formed a choir there, the South Wairarapa Singers. And it was a pretty good group. We did some really good things. We did the Foray Requiem. On the day of the performance, it snowed so heavily that the organist and the soprano soloist, the bass soloist, were not able to to get through, except for the doctor of the area. And nothing would faze Rob. So he got his snow chains and his permission, and over he went, for the rimatuggers, and brought them back.
Wow.
But in the meantime, I'd organised an extra rehearsal so that I would sing that was soprano solo, and I would play the organ part. Thank goodness I didn't have to do that. And then we moved to Waikanae, and I was asked to conduct the Wellington Bach Choir. And after I left that, I really wanted to form a chamber choir where we could do specialised music at a very, very high standard, which I was used to. And it was a real focus in my life to make music at the highest level possible. The music had to speak. It was more important than the people. And there are other people where, other conductors where the people are first and foremost. And you've got to have a balance of both.
All right.
But it was the music that had to stand in its best possible form. So I've decided to form this chamber choir and called it the Medici Singers on the lines of the Tudor Consort. And the Tudor Consort, brilliant choir, and I thought that we would concentrate more on European music from the 16th century also. Unfortunately, at the time, I had ME very badly. My specialist said he thought I was in the early stages of multiple sclerosis. And it took 6 years to get better, but I was highly disciplined and eventually I got better. But I was so sick that it was hard for me to walk down the aisle at a concert and
get
on the podium.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And if I walked for 5 minutes, I slept for an hour. At the correspondence school where I was teaching, I survived only by sleeping for an hour at lunchtime on the staff sick bed. If anybody was mean enough to get there before me, I slept on the floor under my desk.
Oh, how frustrating, though, for somebody.
So, unfortunately, the Medici Singers did only one concert. I had another one planned, but quite a few of the singers were in different things, and they said one by one, oh, we won't be here for this rehearsal. We'll be away for 3 weeks. We're doing Gilbert and Sullivan. Oh, I'm in Tudor Consort. And it was too much for me with the illness, and so Medici Singers died.
Well, I could understand that, being involved with amateur dramatics. You know, you just get certain times during the year when everybody's together. And then if you say, well, shall we do something again? Oh, well, I'm off on holiday.
Yeah.
Elizabeth, we're running out of time very, very quickly here. But so it's been lovely to have you in. I think we could stand another program with you sometime to talk specifically on the music side.
Yes, we could do that.
Because I'm fascinated by the organ side. That's a bit unusual.
Wonderful instrument.
Yes.
Keeps you fit.
I'll have you in sometime. In the meantime, yes, I shall have to pull the shutters down, as it were. Well, good luck with the drivers for Wyke and I. As I say, I am one of them, although I haven't been doing
indeed.
Much. But it's a wonderful thing to do, and everybody's very grateful. So don't forget those two, the phone numbers, 022 341 2036. And 04293 3388, or it's very simply elizabethsalmon820@gmail.com.
Yeah. Thank you, Peter, very much for having me. It's thoroughly enjoyable.
Good. It's been a pleasure. All right. Thanks, Elizabeth.
Thank you.
Bye.
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.